Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
Hey, what's going on there, pal?
We saw you at the hockey game on.
Do I know you guys?
I'm Ryan Whitney. I got a drink named after me.
Not a big deal.
Pink Whitney? That's what I thought. See ya, fellas.
I invented the thing, you pigeon.
Pink Whitney for legendary moments.
Reveille, reveille, reveille. Back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today we have four rounds in the magazine. Round number one, hot mic, hot mic, hot mic. The South Korean president got caught with his verbal pants down around on his ankles, calling our beloved members of Congress fucking idiots or fucking morons. They're not really sure yet. They might have been lost in translation a little bit. Round number two, scientists have determined the worst smell in the world, and spoiler alert, it's a military smell. Warning, this is a Katie rabbit hole round that also involves McDonald's. Round number three, over the last several years, Fort Bragg has stood out for a shocking rise in overdose deaths and drug offenses, including an MP selling drugs out of his cop car on base. We're going to talk about the fentanyl epidemic and how it's affecting troops. Round number four, they're calling it Putin's dad army, as thousands of aging men report for Russia's draft. No word on if they've been issued new balances.
Quality sleep optimizes recovery, helping professional and everyday athletes perform their best. Only the Sleep Number smart bed is proven to improve the quality of sleep and provides valuable insights that can be used to support overall wellness. Talent on a college team allows the best players to outperform their opponents, but in the NFL, everyone is talented. Players entering the draft need every competitive edge they can get, starting with quality sleep. Training will only get more intense as players transition to the pros, so to optimize recovery, they can rely on Sleep Number for consistent, high-quality sleep. Experience game-changing sleep with a Sleep Number smart bed only at a Sleep Number store.
Show because we have a lot to talk about. There's two viral threads on Reddit that I saw this week talking about hot mics. So let me give you a little, before we get into round one, a little information about what a hot mic is in case you don't know. A hot mic is basically when you're talking on a military radio or intercom. It could be anywhere. You could be working at Home Depot, Walmart, wherever. If you have an intercom and you're talking on it when you don't mean to, it's an accident. That is a hot mic. It happened.
Well, look at that. Go ahead. Well, look at that radio host last week who went super viral.
Oh yeah.
he was belittling his coworker, calling her like a fat pig and a bad mom and whatever.
I believe it was actually a fat fucking cunt, Kate, is what
he like. That's literally what he was. It was this radio host in like Ohio, and he had no idea he was on a hot mic and exposed himself for being a giant fucking asshole, and he got fired like immediately. But that's like, that was a huge hot mic story last week.
You gotta know, if you're in a radio station, everything is recorded.
Literally have a mic in front of you, just always right. Assume it's on. Yeah.
So that was a big hot mic. It was also a big hot mic when one of our staunchest allies, the South Koreans, came over to have the UN General Assembly, and their president, their brand new president, mind you, got caught on a hot mic. Kate, walk us through this story.
Yeah, so South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol was caught on a hot mic insulting the U.S. Congress after President Biden promised several billion dollars for a global health initiative on Wednesday. How could Biden not lose damn face if these fuckers do not pass it in Congress, Yoon said, following a photo op with the president on March.
Every time I hear that, Kate, that fucker reminds me of I Think You Can Leave, the scene where they're going to the haunted place, and he's like, what happens if the ghosts come through the walls and one of these fuckers.
Like,
he just looks around like fuckers.
One like, of these to the fuckers on don't pass these, this Congress.
These fuckers in Congress.
This came right after Biden had pledged $6 billion to the Global Fund to fight AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria over 3 years, the first $2 billion of which is included in the president's proposed budget for the next year. However, it's Congress who has to approve that budget. So basically, South Korea's president was saying, I hope these fuckers don't mess that up.
Yeah, like Biden can say whatever he wants to, but the president is acknowledging that it's the Congress that gives out money, not the executive. But later on, after this came back and he went back to South Korea, when he got home, he was pissed at his own media because they are the ones that recorded it on a hot mic and they put it out and it was a big to-do. And obviously, if you're South Korea, you don't want President Biden or you don't want the United States mad at you and you don't want Congress right. mad at you calling you idiots because likely we give out so much money to the entire world that you don't want that little sugar tit cut off. But he went and said that it was our media's fault. We don't really believe that it was the media's fault. If you say anything, it's essentially like what happened with Barstool Chicago. And their quarterback, Justin Fields, went out and he was talking to the media. And they got Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears got mad at Barstool because we started publishing what Justin Fields said at an actual press conference. Like, dude, you said it at a press conference. Mm-hmm. It's not our fault. Same thing if you're the president. Yeah. Don't fucking say it if you don't want it out there.
I just like how the news, the South Korean news media who did publish what he said, the captions of it, because they couldn't say those fuckers right. even on their own TV. So they said that he was saying, wouldn't it be too darn embarrassing for Biden if those idiots at legislature don't approve?
So that's the way they captioned like a Canadian.
What was that about?
Okay there, eh? Oh, wouldn't it be cute as a button if those little legislatures there, eh? But yeah, so basically mad at his own media for reporting shit.
I think you gotta just excuse this if you're Biden, though, honestly, because when you're a politician and you're constantly speaking into a microphone, you're constantly mic'd up for years at a time, you're bound to say something that gets caught on a mic that you don't want on a mic. So Biden's gotta just look at this guy and say, man, you know what? And I've said things that I wouldn't have wanted other people to hear, so I get it.
He's no stranger to some hot mics moments either. There was a very famous moment. I think it was the Affordable Care Act, actually, that got passed. And they were at the White House together. President Obama was about to go to the podium and make the official announcement. It was one of those major legislations. It was either the end of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or it was the Affordable Care Act. And you could hear Biden, because he introduced the president, because it was a huge deal that they were doing it. He introduced President Obama. And when they go in for a hug, you can hear Vice President Biden then be like, this is a big fucking deal, bro. Like, to him in there. And he get caught up on – and so many news outlets were picking up that he said fuck instead of what was actually going on. Don't miss the forest for the trees. Getting caught on a hot mic happens in the military all the time too. Two threads went viral on Reddit this week, so we're going to go through some of the best ones and some of the best hot mic experiences that these folks had. Kate, you want to go through them?
Yeah. Cons, you're tank number one. Chaps, you're tank number two.
Okay.
This is from a conversation.
You be hot mic then? Are you going to be battalion?
I will be battalion, okay? And this comes to us from the Lost Lieutenant on Reddit, and he says, this was overheard from the OP while sitting in battalion defense at 29 Palms in the middle of the night over the battalion net.
Cons?
We are fucking lost.
Hot mic.
There's no way. How can we not find an entire fucking battalion?
Hot mic, hot mic.
I think I see our position. Well, never mind. That's just a fucking rock. Fuck.
This is fucking stupid.
Break, hot mic.
Chromite, this is Apache 401. Be advised, we have not occupied our positions. We are still en route.
Tracking.
See, and in this instance, we would kill to have somebody as calm as Kate there in that hot mic.
Yeah.
Usually, in my experience, when there is a hot mic, it is a fluster and a flurry of people trying to get on.
Hot mic!
Oh, my God! They are going to be dropping all kinds of words that they should not be using. Because if you – I mean, really, soldiers and Marines are – I think we have the worst language of anybody maybe on planet Earth as far as, like, being appropriate or not. The last thing you want if you're the headshed is for a group of young soldiers or young Marines to be on the microphone when other high-ranking officials are around. Because then that's
when
the dirty dogs
say.
Are the dirtiest.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, this is very true. Such as Valhalla 1956 said, I announced to my whole platoon over a hot mic that I needed to piss my whole dick. So, you know, it happens.
Well, you got to know, okay, we have to ask the headshed. Are sit down or stand up head calls authorized? We really need to know, because if you have to piss your old dick, you need to make sure that stand up head calls are authorized.
Or flaps.
Right. True.
You could also announce that you got to piss your whole flaps.
Camp, Kate? Did you say? Because we used to say if you had to request permission to make a head call, you had to, the drill instructor sometime would say stand up or sit down. So do you guys go solid or liquid?
How do they differentiate?
No.
No, I don't remember that at all. That's a good question.
But it would
though.
Be good, right? Like, recruit man, you request permission to take a sit down head call, ma'am. And then they say, all right, man, you're fucking solid or liquid. Solid, man. This recruit's about to drop a goddamn growler.
A little mix of both, ma'am. I can't figure it out. Yeah.
This recruit's a little mix got of both. Soft serve.
Oh, my son had a poop the other day that we're trying loose pie. That it came out like you pulled the handle of a soft serve.
Oh, yeah.
Just pretty
little
amazing.
Curly cue
cool
and all.
Story by me. Yep. Perfect little Dairy Queen swirl at the top.
And what's the next one?
Ah, so we have, I liked this one from Noser. We hit an IED and needed QRF with the wrecker. Little me, a private, was sitting in one of those other vehicles listening in on the chatter. Here's the breakdown. Cons your PSG, chaps your QRF.
QRF, you guys near?
Roger, we're just going to need going down that dirt road right now.
Roger, be alert. We have hit an IED on it before.
Roger, we're tracking.
Cue the hot mic.
Man, these dumb motherfuckers hit an IED it seems every week. I'm so tired of picking up these dumb fucks.
Beep. Mike cuts out as we see them go down the road and go up in a cloud of dust to the boom. They hit an IED. Everyone lived, and we laughed
I think
at them.
That's the most beautiful military sentiment that we've heard in a long time. That is only happens in the military. You're like, hey, all my friends just got blown up by an IED. That's fucking hilarious. Like,
yeah.
As long as everybody okay, yeah. It's fine.
Everyone lived, comma, and we laughed is that perfect military dark humor that you got to have. Uh-huh. You have to have it.
And yep. Speaking of Biden had another little faux pas this week, right, Cons?
Yeah, not really a hot mic, but he seems to just have a tough time with microphones in general. He went out on a podium and he was trying to look for someone and he said, Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? And of course he was looking for Representative Jackie Walorski, who unfortunately died in a car accident in August, RIP. Very sad, but he's got to know that. He can't go on a mic talking about a woman.
Or, excuse me, in his defense, actually, maybe I shouldn't see this.
I don't know. How would you defend that?
Maybe he sees ghosts, but it's too soon to say something like that.
But do you guys remember that? I don't remember if – and it could be either one. But it was one of the recent presidents. It was either Trump or Biden that they were at like a big rally. And there was somebody that was wheelchair bound. And they were like giving different accolades, you know, like in the military, whenever you're going up and you have like a battalion meeting and the base generals, they're like, oh, well, first up, we would definitely like to thank Brigadier General whoever for bringing his fucking testicles in here. We love the way those smell, sir. Thank you so much for coming. And then they were doing that same type of thing. And it was either Biden or Trump. I can't remember who it was. They're like, can you go ahead and stand up? And the entire audience was like, well, that person's paralyzed. Like, no.
Yeah, like, no. They,
it's a firm no.
No, they can't.
I think at that point, you got to just look back and be like, oof, my bad.
Yeah, that's all you can do, really. Oof. All right, let's move on to...
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Move on to round number two, which is a pretty shocking story out of McDonald's. What do we got here, Kate?
Out of McDonald's. This one sent me down a rabbit hole that leads me to a military tie-in, but bear with me. Okay. Here in New York City, there was this McDonald's up on 95th Street on the Upper West Side. And, you know, every fast food restaurant has, like, big pipes at the top. They have to vent their grills. I mean, they're grilling all day long. And this McDonald's is a 24-hour McDonald's here in New York. And they are always bussing. There's always a line going. There's always a ton going on. They're always bussing. They're always bussies down there. They're McBussies. Anyways.
They're like, nugget.
But these giant pipes, picture like a 4 foot around like blow dryer blowing out McDonald's smell. Mm-hmm. Well, the one side of this McDonald's was empty space. And so that's where the smell directly from these grills 24 hours a day was blowing. So nobody minded. They built a very fancy high rise there. And the high rise got the McDonald's to turn this basically blow dryer of McDonald's smell directly at the little six-story building, apartment building next
door. All I imagine is those pipes from like Mario, where like going left, going right, and they're just like, oh no, we actually don't want the rich people to smell McDonald's. Here it is for the poor.
That's quite literally what they did. That's literally what they did. And if you see the photos, this pipe is going directly at a bunch of people's windows in this little old apartment building. It's so bad that this building has come together and they're trying to get their local council members involved. They interviewed, this was from the Post, sometimes it gets stronger and stronger and you can smell the hamburgers. It's just disgusting, said Jose Londonato, a vegetarian.
Oh, this poor guy.
And the pipe, they said, faces right at his window. Another guy said, we've got French fries at 3 a.m. It's actually more like rancid hamburgers. That's what it smells like. And in New York City, like, you don't, not always, but most buildings, like I lived in one building for 2 years and didn't even know what my neighbors looked like. This whole building has come together as a team.
That's unheard of.
This McDonald's is like unheard of. So that's how bad it is. They interviewed pretty much everyone in that whole building and everyone was like, it's just 24/7 McDonald's smell. It never goes away. You know, when you leave it in your car and you come back to your car and you're like, oh fuck. Like it's
something happened where I had like a phone call where I had to leave my car and forgot my McDonald's in there and just didn't go get it because it was older. So it was like a full ass meal that was left in my truck. And then I had to go to New York and it was when it was like 105 degrees.
Man.
I came back. Not only did my entire truck reek like shit, but that bag, it went from like tan to like wet. Like the entire thing was wet because I guess that meat sweats or something. I don't know what it is, but it was foul.
I mean, McDonald's really, like, I think the fries, when you first open the bag, that's a good smell. I don't think there's any other smell at McDonald's that's actually good, is there?
No, I would agree with that. No.
Yeah, it's not pretty rough.
It's not an appetite. You're not like, oh, that Yankee Candle McDonald's cheeseburger smells delicious. Yeah.
Right. And, well, so the people who live in this building are saying, like, their clothes smell like it wherever they go. Some of them are like, we'll never be able to sell our apartment as long as this continues. Like, there's no hiding it. People will know. It smells like old meat in my house now. Fuck. And the wealthy people apartment building's like, it is what it is. They reached out to the McDonald's, and even the manager said, the chicken, the fish, the chicken McNuggets, the fries, I wouldn't want to live with that smell daily. And that's the manager of that McDonald's.
That's the entire the only thing that he left off was an egg McMuffin. That's it.
So hopefully, good luck for those people. If I had to get one smell pumped into my apartment 24/7, I would go with either snickerdoodles or gasoline.
Oh, I think gasoline's
one of those
good.
Two things.
Gasoline, I think that eventually would give you a headache, right?
I think it's the same thing with this, like a sugary smell. Like the warm vanilla is always very popular. The caramel apples are very popular. I need a floral smell if I'm going to be around it all the time. Give me a lavender, something like that.
So we have these we get the candles from Anthropology, which are very nice, and there's like a fir and firewood one.
Oh, mother,
didn't know you were doing so well.
Anthropology.
Fancy.
Real
sandalwood.
It's good
very
stuff.
Fancy.
Okay. Well, this led me to what is the worst possible smell that you could ever have. Like McDonald's, old McDonald's that you can never get away from is rough. In 1998, Pamela Dalton, a cognitive psychologist at the Chemical Senses Center, was tasked with developing a stink bomb for the DOD. Like they wanted it to, like a version of warfare that just was bad smell. Her experiments found that people from different backgrounds and different parts of the world who grew up smelling and eating different things often completely disagreed with which smells good or bad.
True.
And like, you'll have that here. Like culturally, people be like, oh, like it sounds kind of racist, but like so-and-so's lunch stinks or like whatever. But it's like,
dude, one of my best friends growing up, their names were Louie and Norby. They were twins. Their mom was their mom was from Vietnam and their dad was just a white dude from like Tennessee. And they constantly cooked food from Vietnam. When they would come to my house, they would be like, your house smells like white people's – only white people's house smelled like wet dogs all the time. Like every time they would come in and be like, you don't even have a dog. Like why does it smell like that to you? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I smell like wet dog.
I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. Sorry, really quickly. But Alex, she loves to get pho when she's hungover. And I just – I don't know. I can – stand
I love
seconds,
when I'm hungover
I'm,
too.
Yeah,
you don't like it?
Salty,
ginger,
liquidy.
Yeah.
Well, so this woman then got people from all different backgrounds. She needed to find a common ground that everyone across the board was like, no, this fucking stinks.
Is it poop?
So she came up with something. The most universally distasteful smell was something called U.S. Government Standard Bathroom Malodor, a substance that was designed to mimic the scent of military field latrines.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
As considered globally by people, she tested people from backgrounds with all these different smells, and the number one was military latrine bathroom smell. The resulting formula is what she called stench soup.
Oh, yeah.
And it might be the worst smell ever created. And I know what she's talking about. Like, field porta potties stink, but those field porta potties that we had that were like six deep in Afghanistan, that is a smell that is burned into my mind. You had to brace yourself every time you went in. It felt like a new death. Oh, like, yeah. You know what smell I'm talking about, guys?
Oh, dude, mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, yeah. Going anywhere where it's a hot environment in a latrine is awful. But I think combine that with the type of diet that military folks have when you're in the field, whether that be MREs or like field rats, it makes it even worse because the level of sodium that's in that food to help keep you hydrated and all that stuff makes everything so much worse. I honestly think the only thing that I think might be worse than this, and this is an old throwback story from early ZBT days, the bucket of nasty. I think it might be the only
bucket
thing
of nasty
that would compare.
Well, this other woman, Mary Roach, a science writer, she went to write about it. So they're like, here, have a whiff. She was writing this book, Grunt, The Curious Science of Humans at War. And so she smelled it for that. And she described the aroma as Satan on a throne of rotting
that's
onions.
That's a good one.
That's what a military bathroom smells like.
That's a fantastic description. Good for her coming up with that.
And final interesting note on this, if they wanted to create a bomb that could make the entire world smell, they could do it. Ethyl mercaptan.
The whole world?
Yeah, listen to this. It's you know what makes natural gas? You know the reason we can smell it
they
is that
it.
They add something in there
right.
That is so potent. They add the tiniest little drop into a huge thing of it, and you could smell it like super easily. It only takes like beep, like a pin sized drop to make like an enormous amount of gas smellable. So this stuff's super. So picture Central Park. You know the reservoir in the middle of Central Park. They said a pool of ethyl mercaptan. If you blew it up the size of the one in Central Park, it would make the entire world smell like a fart.
That's fun to
wow.
think about.
Isn't that fun?
I mean, that would be incredible. Like, to have the opportunity to do that, like, that's the type of thing, if I'm Elon Musk, that's what I'm doing. A worldwide poop drink?
Right.
Come on. Like, you got to do that.
I know.
And while you're sitting here explaining the last part, I looked it up, the standard bathroom Malodor. Did you know that they've essentially made this product into, like, an anti-venom for other things that stink? They figured out a way to put just a tiny little bit where that raunchy smell absorbs. It's almost like a smell black hole where that smell will take up everything around it if you just put a little bit in.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't add it, but I went down the whole science of smell. They said another one, if you blew up several trucks of this super intense vanilla, you can make the whole world probably smell like vanilla.
Oh, that's not
so
good.
You can counteract it.
That's not good.
Maybe
though.
There's a good guy with a vanilla bomb and a bad guy with a fart bomb,
like,
and that's what
the like Fat Boy and Little Man of Etsy.
Yes.
But Chaps was right when he said, like, I don't like those vanilla sugary smells. But also, I just started watching that show about Jeffrey Dahmer, and I'm not spoiling anything here, but his apartment.
He kills people.
Yeah, his apartment. He smoked inside. It was, like, dungy, and he had, you know, rotting bodies in there. I have to imagine that would be a smell that would compete with these.
Oh yeah, that 55 gallon drum or 30 gallon drum that he had with people inside.
Right.
I imagine that bad boy smelled a little
not
bit
great.
Like Malodor. If I had to guess, it's a little Malodor smell. All right, let's move on to round number three. What do we got here, Kate?
Yeah, so Rolling Stone Army veteran Seth Harp wrote this article for them, and when I read it, I feel like we are very much on the pulse. We're looking up military news all day long, all week long. And somehow I had not seen this. And I think it's kind of a big story. And also, too, just I feel like fentanyl's huge in the news right now. They're putting it in the Halloween candy. You know, the season is upon us. But it is a thing. Like, I think all of us, like, I have two people in my life that lost their lives to fentanyl. I feel like everyone at this point has been touched by it in some way or another.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
It's because you don't realize that it's being put in things. It's cheaper than it's not plant-based. It's like chemically made. And so it's cheaper and easier to produce and put in stuff. And so people are ingesting it, not realizing they're ingesting it. And they're thinking they're going to have a fun night of partying. And that's their last night. And because it's not being talked about in the military, I think more people are dying from it because they don't realize that's happening.
And I think they don't talk about it. And it's a big thing. That assumption that nobody is doing drugs. Like even when you have a safety brief,
yes,
it's always about the dangers of drugs. It's never about we know somebody here is doing it or that the likelihood of you doing it. It's the assumption that everybody's going to follow the rules, which is just not true.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, it's a misconception. Like you slap a uniform on an 18-year-old kid and all of a sudden they just will make all the right decisions. And don't get me wrong, I think a lot of people that join the military do develop a lot of discipline, but a lot of them are still prone to
making human beings.
Yeah, they're still prone to making mistakes.
And two, after 20 years of war, people cope in different ways. So we'll get into it. But I thought this this Army veteran, Seth Harp, wrote this for Rolling Stone. I kind of summarize it here and there, and I chopped a lot out of it. So go read his article if you want the full thing. But the piece begins with the family of Matthew Disney, a 20-year-old radar operator in airborne artillery at Fort Bragg. It's the weekend, and he's not responding to text or calls. So his mom, Rachel Bowman, his girlfriend, his sister, they all normally talk to him. Like each of them was saying, all week long, they're talking to him. Well, he's not responding. And hours are going by. They start talking to each other. They're like, this is weird. And they start to panic. They begin calling Disney's battle buddies and getting hold of them through different channels. And his buddies immediately, to their credit, they go alert the fire guard on duty. The duty finds barracks camera footage of Disney and another radar man, Specialist Joshua Diamond, entering the barracks at 11 p.m. the night before. But when they knock on Diamond's door, no answer, and the door is locked. Because 24 hours had not elapsed, meaning Disney couldn't be considered a missing person, they were not allowed to, the call was given out, don't knock down that door. I feel
that's
like,
weird.
I can't judge. Back in my day, I feel like we just kicked down,
yeah,
like,
not even kick, the duty
nobody
has
had
a
privacy.
Like, if you don't wake, like, if you're like, hey, I got, somebody needs to come out here and buff these fucking decks. Knock, knock, knock. Open yep. the door. Hey, bitch, come out here and fucking buff. Like, that's yeah. the way it
but
went
because,
down.
So because it was the weekend and he wasn't expected to be anywhere, like, I guess, based legally, they couldn't go in his room, even though his mom was like screaming, like, something is wrong. Something is wrong. I'm begging you, knock down that door. They didn't
so
do it.
Strange. And it's in yeah, a barracks, so, not base housing, right?
It's in a barracks, correct. So desperate, Disney's mom, Rachel, contacted a family friend, a colonel in the Army who was stationed in Maryland, and he made some calls that was like, I don't give a fuck, like, go do it, go knock down this door. And then she said everything went silent. She didn't hear from anyone. At around midnight, Disney's sister received an anonymous call. Rachel was, she was out in the front porch. Disney's sister gets this call. She said, I just heard her scream and I went inside and she was on the kitchen floor with Matt's girlfriend screaming, this isn't fucking funny. Who the fuck are you? What kind of sick joke is this? So someone broke protocol. No matter whether it happens stateside or overseas, they come to your house and tell you. Someone anonymous broke protocol and called Disney's
and
sister.
And that shit is a big deal. And
it's
a
huge
deal. For
the civilians
that are listening that, and you've never been involved in something like that, like a service member yeah. dying, if somebody from a base or a forward operating base in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever you're doing combat operations, if somebody dies, the base will completely kill all of the phone conversation, all of the internet uses until the family is notified. First of kin notification is maybe one of the hallmarks of the military that people should not go around, and that's a big yep. fucking deal.
So an anonymous person, it's after midnight, calls Disney's family, won't say who they are, and just says that Disney is no longer alive. Rachel Bowman, the mom, placed a phone call after phone call, desperate, to the command, and didn't get a hold of anyone until 2 a.m. She finally got through to her son's battalion commander, where he confirmed that Disney had been found in Diamond's room, lifeless. I'm so sorry, she remembers him saying, he was a good kid. But he wouldn't tell her what happened, only that Disney didn't do anything to hurt himself. On top of the shock and grief of learning that her only son was dead, she was confused. If it wasn't suicide, then what happened? And all she was thinking was that Diamond must have hurt her son. That was not the case. In fact, Diamond was also dead. His body had been found slumped over Disney's on the floor, almost as if the two of them were in an embrace. And if I had to I would say,
yep.
Disney was dead first, and as Disney was dying, Diamond probably was trying to help him and also
die.
And many I also can't help but think were they in there slowly breathing still while these guys were outside the door not coming in? You know, were they not when they were told not to come in? Like, how, what was it? I can't speculate, but I'm just saying, like, man. And many Fort Bragg soldiers have died recently under similar circumstances, quietly in their barracks, in their bunks, in parked cars, or somewhere off post from no outwardly apparent cause. According to a set of casualty reports, at least 14 and as many as 30 Fort Bragg soldiers have died this way since the start of 2020.
That's a remarkable,
yet there has been no,
I mean,
oh, it gets worse. There has been no acknowledgement from the Army on any aspects of this. Only the families of the victims have been informed discreetly and in private. So there's been no reporting on this, no news. They don't release any statement. These guys are just dying quietly, and then it kind of gets swept under the rug. When the results of Disney's toxicology reports came in, the cause of death was acute fentanyl intoxication. They later learned from investigators that Diamond had purchased the pill or pills from a fellow soldier in the 82nd Airborne who got them off the dark web. So it was someone in his own unit who gave him the pill that killed him. This only compounded his mom's confusion. "My son was not a drug user," she insisted. "Under no circumstances would he have wittingly ingested fentanyl. And odds are good he had zero idea that he did. Military investigators informed her that he thought he was taking a Percocet." So he had no idea. He thought, yeah. So a staggering total of 109 soldiers assigned to Fort Bragg, active and reserve, lost their lives in 2020 and 2021. Only four of those were combat related. Less than 20 were natural. All the rest were preventable. Putting aside instances of self-harm, accidental overdose is the leading cause of death at Fort Bragg right now.
Too.
Yep. When confronted with these facts, Fort Bragg officials deflected blame and pointed to trends in the general population. And they were saying, basically, we're right next to Interstate 95. Compared to other bases, we're right next to a major drug highway, the Miami to New York I-95. So that increases accessibility here at Fort Bragg. That's what they were saying the reason was. In most cases, I'm going to read you a couple here, and I might stop before I get to the end. These were overdoses that were never mentioned. Specialist Christopher Jenkins, 22, intel, fentanyl. Specialist Christian Pineda, helicopter repairman, illegal substances. PFC Anthony Savala, infantryman, cocktail of Benadryl, fentanyl. Specialist Zachary Bracken, Green Beret candidate from Maryland, alcohol, fentanyl. First, the list goes on and on.
One of the things
it's
about
Sergeant First Class,
that
it's specialist.
These aren't all just very junior troops. There's some sergeants in here. There's some Sergeant First Classes in here. There's some other ranks that are higher up, that it's not just a young person coming in and having no discipline type thing. This is something that's affecting ranks all up and down.
Yep. One of them was a parachute rigger. These are jobs that you probably don't want to be messed, but the common thing in all of these were fentanyl, and that none of these deaths were made public at all. In other cases that they do make public, you may have heard this. They say found unresponsive in barracks room.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen that? A ton. They will announce it, but they'll say it's they were found unresponsive. And a part of me, like the innocent part of me with the military, is like, oh, did they have a heart condition? Did they have whatever? Like, they're not saying it. So I would assume they would say if it was drugs or something like that. So all this is going on and the soldiers around them are unaware of it. In October 2021, Fort Bragg soldiers were losing their lives at the rate of one every 3 days. Another 21 Fort Bragg soldiers died over the subsequent 5 months. The most recent soldier to turn up lifeless on Bragg from causes that the Army can't or won't explain was a major. On March 25th, 2022, he was found, officer on Delta Force, top secret manhunting unit, said to be one of the most selective organizations in the entire U.S. It's a mystery how the 38-year-old fitness fanatic was found slumped over his vehicle, over his steering wheel in Fort Bragg. All these deaths are happening in the same way, and no one is talking about it, says Rachel Bowman, Disney's mom. It's all very secretive. It's all swept under the rug. This is obviously a problem. And I think, like, this is one of those things that they have to just be straight up and be like, listen, we're not stupid. We know there are drugs here on base. We know some of you are taking them. But what you may not know is about this fentanyl stuff. Like, you think you're just partying tonight? It's not a joke. Like, it could be your last. Like, I think this is something that they clearly are not being upfront about. But if they were, like, I just picture young, dumb Kate. That is something that would stop me.
So
I mean, like, oh, shit.
Right.
There's this unknown going around in our drugs right now. Like that. And we've lost how many soldiers? And oh, my buddy, I didn't know that's what he died of. That is something that if I had the knowledge might stop me from doing this shit.
Like, I will say though, like, this article is a little misleading because we don't know for sure, you know, if they are sharing it within the ranks. And when they say like nobody's talking about it,
it
could just be that it's not out there in the public.
But
typically
when Vice does something this extensive, they would pick that
Rolling Stone,
up. Like if they were having safety briefs or if there was all that type of thing, I understand giving them the benefit of the doubt. But Vice, when they go that in depth, surely they would mention if they were trying to do something.
Possibly. But I think more to Kate's point, I think back to like when we were all growing up and then in the 90s, it seemed like, and this was also when there was less television available out there. So it seemed like every news story on like Dateline 2020, it's like every few weeks there was a story about someone taking, you know, one pill at a party, at a rave or whatever, and dying.
Jimmy
and
down all the road those stories, died from doing weed once.
Yeah, it's like the father in Freaks and Geeks. You're like, know what happened to him? He died. I'm sorry, I don't mean to make light of it, but that's what it reminded me of. But what I'm saying is, like, all those stories would stick with me, and I was never, you know, hand up. I never done drugs, never had a propensity to try drugs. I just didn't care. It wasn't my thing. But part of the reason was because I was, you know, always thinking, like, is it ever really worth that one time you do it and there's a possibility to die? Like if I handed you two a glass of water and I said, hey guys, there's a 1% chance if you drink this, you might die. Are you going to drink that water? No, probably not. I don't care how thirsty you are because there's that chance you might die. So I think
you're right. I'm naive, but it didn't stop. Those old stories never stopped me from doing dumb shit that I did. So maybe I'm naive to think
but
on some level, education and speaking about it.
It can't just be like,
yeah.
Yeah, it can't just be, hey, we're going to, you know, you're worried, like, maybe we'll get drug tested. You have to get upstream with these guys. It can't just be a reactive thing. You got to be proactively educating them to your point about how the one time can kill you.
Yeah, and I think, too, like, he writes about, to a greater extent than Americans in general, U.S. soldiers are overworked, stressed out, chronically deprived of sleep. And to cope with that, I mean, we're slamming Rippets. People are taking a whole range of substances, legal and illegal, whether it's hypercaffeinated energy drinks, an off-duty joint to ease chronic injury, steroids to obtain an edge in selection for an elite unit. And that was a big thing that just came out within the Special Forces, drugs and steroids and all that stuff. A line of cocaine in a bathroom after a deployment. Hard drug use is increasingly apparent in the Special Forces. Again, a ton of articles about that recently. A group of Navy SEAL whistleblowers told CBS News that the military's drug testing protocols are a joke. And in many cases, there's no institutional incentive for commanders to punish soldiers for simple possession or use. It's an offense best dealt with quietly and administratively, but fentanyl has changed the game. So now I think he's saying they have to start looking at this differently now because everything that was working before, now soldiers are dying. And so what maybe just wasn't a big deal before, like, actually matters. He goes on to explain, like, what fentanyl is, you know, synthesized in a lab. No need to grow poppy. It's so highly concentrated that, again, it's cheap.
5,000 times stronger
it's so
than
highly
morphine or some shit like that. Like, it's something astronomically higher and more, and it's cheaper, more readily available. It's just a dangerous thing. Altogether, we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that story out of Fort Bragg, and hopefully their leadership gets it under control and like it needs to be. We don't want people to die senselessly, obviously. All right, let's move. Go ahead.
Yeah, and also too, I just really quick, I just want to hear from people. Yeah, like, are your commands talking about this? Like, am I way out of touch? Am I way off base on this? Or like, are people using? And you're like, I'm not a cop. You can tell me. But like, is this a problem, or is this just a Fort Bragg problem, or is it across the whole? Is everyone seeing this right now?
Yeah, because
I don't think this
is isolated to Fort Bragg.
Definitely.
I have to imagine, and not just the Army either. Like, you're dealing with 18, and then I shouldn't even say ages because people are going to try to do drugs. So I think this is probably rampant across all the entire military across the country.
And one last note on this. The soldier that sold him the pill, he was busted down to private, dishonorably discharged, and only got a year in prison.
This is the argument for having more legalized drugs. Because if you do this type of thing and somebody wants to go get a Percocet, if you have more loose laws where you're able to do stuff, you don't get fentanyl in your Percocet. Like, you know, like that is the argument that people like Kat Timpf, who doesn't believe in, she believes that like heroin and cocaine and all those types of things. That's the argument, is because if you have some spot that's regulated, you don't have to go and get it from somebody in the back of an MP car or whatever you're getting it.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But then once it's regulated, it's more expensive. And when you need it and you're addicted, you're not going to have the money eventually. And yeah, shit's going to – I don't know. You're right. There's all sorts of interesting arguments to be made.
No easy
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
On to the next round. What do we got here, Kate?
Hey, what do you call it when there's no internet in Russia?
What?
Barstool headquarters.
It's called internet.
Oh, yeah. Nice one, Kate.
Why was Russia late to the UN meeting?
Why?
Stalin, as always. I don't like Russian dolls. They're so full of themselves. I had trouble getting into my vacation home in Russia. I had to call a locksmith because I lost my Siberian house key. Why? Last one. Why did Edward miss his flight out of Russia?
Why?
He was snowed in. All right, we're talking dads, folks.
Yeah, we
are talking dad jokes, and I'm sure the Russian dads in the military, the oldies, are going to be telling plenty of those in their smoke pit, because this draft, they're reeling in the primo folks, it looks like. Yeah.
The bells in of the ball.
In a frenzied...
Spring chickens.
Spring chickens. In a frenzied... I thought you guys were going to keep going. I was like, these motherfuckers.
Thought about
in
it.
In a frenzied bid to stop his army from collapsing amid Ukraine's lightning counterattack, Putin appears to have plucked out some civilians with little training to ship off to war. Pictures from Sevastopol and Crimea have emerged, showing the new recruits clutching shiny new weapons and getting ready to head to the front line. But many of the men, white hair, beer bellies, not in physical tip-top shape, not who you usually see. The images drew similarities to the popular British sitcom Dad's Army. We all remember that one, right? The British sitcom Dad's Army, where men who were too old to fight in World War II were drafted to defend the homeland. The mobilized men in Russia are expected to receive only 2 weeks of training before being shipped off to the Ukraine, compared to the 6 months minimum training usually provided. And I just tried to picture for a second. I love my dad. I love him. Wonderful guy. Mm-hmm. Intelligent guy.
Shout out
Great
to
guy.
Mr. Mannion.
I picture him getting a draft notice. Mm-hmm. He's never served. I don't know if he's ever worn real boots. And I try to, yeah, he's got to look. I just try to picture him being handed a weapon. He's got another person's corneas in his eyes.
True.
I try to picture him at war.
I mean, not even your dad, us, like me. Like if you, I don't want to do that. Like it. All day? Like, we gotta do war stuff all day? Like, I can't even go home and watch Jeopardy at night? We gotta do this all day?
So many images are coming out, and these men are, I'm not shitting you, like, 65, 70, like, they look oldish. Well, in Russia, that means they're probably 45, 50.
No, I think these guys look like old Baptist deacons. Like, they all look old.
Oh, yeah. But picture you finally fucking retire. You get to hang out with your grandbabies. Life is finally good. And you get a fucking draft notice to go to essentially, like, this is, I think I said it last week, like, a meat grinder. You're given 2 weeks of training, an old shitty weapon, and this is how your life is going to end after everything you've been through? Is it?
And we're making fun of it, but you're absolutely right.
Like, dude.
These pictures, when I see them, this is the same face that I would have. The picture of them looking down at their rifles, this is how I would look down at my age now if my wife bought me a pregnancy test and it was positive. I would be looking at it just the same level of, oh, fuck, I'm screwed. Like that.
Yes.
That's exactly how they look.
Yes.
These guys look like they just like made the wrong turn on their way to their, you know, weekly bridge game. And they just got hemmed up and they don't. And now they're in camo and they have a rifle in their hand and they have to go fight in the war. And all the while they're thinking, what's going on?
The videos that you see popping about, because essentially what this last round is what's going on with these older folks. And I mean, here, I don't know what would happen, man. Like, if you tried this same shit, because we do have the IRR. Like, if you get out after 4 years, where for the next 4 years they can call you back, because anybody that signs up, you owe them eight. Even back.
Lest we forget the MTV hit Stop Loss.
True. Yeah.
Oof,
yeah, you can have a little bit of stop loss where you can't get out. The Russians have that going on right now, and we have the IRR, the inactive reserve, where people will be called back into active duty. But they're going so much further than what we've gone, because ours is you have to be 4 years. Within 4 years of getting out is when you could be the IRR. Some of these fellas, from what I read, serve from the ages of 17 to 22 and then have been out of the military for sometimes up to 40 years. Mm-hmm. 40 years after you get out, you're expected to know anything. You guys are impressed that I know, like, the third general order after I've been out for 10.
Yeah.
Imagine what the average military person not being around for 40 fucking years. And then you go in from getting your weapon to being back on the front line. Some of these people that have been conscripted and brought back in are already fighting. Like, they got them last week, and they're already fighting.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it just looks sad. I feel bad for these gentlemen because, you know, you don't obviously expect to have to go do this, and I'm sure they love their country, but not to this extent.
And they're brainwashed.
From the
know?
Words like, of a lot fuck. Of these people, it's not about loving your country. It's about we don't want to get killed by our country.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot of –
because they don't have another choice.
It's basically what happened back in the far reaches of American history, where if you didn't – you were viewed as like a traitor, and you were going to get put to death.
Yeah.
I'm sure that fear – is surrounding a lot of these decisions, because these aren't people coming primarily from Russia and St. Petersburg. These are people that are coming from places like Dagestan and places that are Russian federations where they're not even considered – they don't even view themselves as Russians first.
And I was looking the death toll for Russians is somewhere over 50,000 now or something at this point, like the official death toll, and it's less than a year, right? Mm-hmm. So
yeah. I tell you what, at this point – You're bringing up these 65-year-old men. Putin, just give it up, pal. Like, you're not going to win with filling the ranks with these gentlemen, you know, as brave as they might be and as nice as they might be. Like, just give it
up,
pal.
But he's dead, though. If he does that, and I think based on what we know about Russia and the people that are behind him and that are, like, pulling his strings and all that shit, he comes out, you admit that you made a mistake and 57 or 58,000 of your countrymen died because you were too ambitious and did things too soon, despite other right. warnings that it wasn't going to work. Putin's deadzo if he
he's pot back. Committed. Yeah.
And which is the scary thing, because some of his like buddies have been talking about, well, up next then is fucking nukes. What are you guys going to do about it? And that's like, cause I think he's crazy. I think he knows what he's doing, but I think you can't discount anything. It's crazy. One other thought I had too, though, you're a young unit on the front line. You hear replacements are coming. You're like, thank God we're finally getting replacements. And it's like some 70-year-old dude who has no, like, imagine what that feels like to be like, wait, what? Oh yeah. God. I don't know.
I don't know if we can. Anyway. I mean, there's certain situations where you try to put yourself in what it was like. I try to age myself 20 years and then be told, like, oh, you're going back to Fallujah. The fuck I am. Like, no, I'm not.
No.
I am not. Mm-hmm. If it comes down to it at 65 years old and I'm dying now, I'm dying in my town. I'm not dying in somebody else's.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Crazy. And, yeah, a lot of crazy footage coming out of all that. So.
All right, let's move on to some save.
Sorry, real quickly. Mm-hmm. Could I just add, because I'm curious what you guys think about this. I saw an article that says the U.S. and Europe are running out of weapons to send to the Ukraine. Mm. I mean, obviously, we spent how many millions of dollars supporting Ukraine? At what point do we say, okay, sorry, that's all we got?
I think when it's all you got. I think that we have the ability to manufacture stuff, and I would very, very highly doubt that the generals at the high reaches of the DOD would let us get to a spot where we were in serious danger. I mean, we're fine. Right.
We're fine, like, with our military. We're not in a place where it's like we can't even defend ourselves. If push came to shove, we're just getting to that point where it's like, all right, we can't send you any more extra, because then we'd have to start dipping into our own supply.
Yeah. I think we have some of our supplies that we're dipped into, but I think that kind of report is a little overblown. I don't think that is something that we would realistically do. I mean, just think about the times that I'm sure as an artillery officer, you had to go into the munition area to, like, inspect and look at all that shit. The amount of 155 rounds that I personally saw in Okinawa is unbelievable.
Staggering.
Like, we have a lot of fucking weapons. But it is weird. Like, speaking of the nuclear threat and, like, his people are talking about nuclear weapons, isn't it in a weird mindset? Because in my brain, I'm like, well, they got them, but we got bigger ones and we got better ones. But in the grand scheme of things, anybody using them is bad.
We're all dying, buddy. We're all screwed. We're all fucked. There's no good ending.
But our whole lives, like, we've been like, oh, nuclear weapons. Buddy, we got fucking 7,000 of them things. We can destroy the world several times over. And also, 7,000, what do we need that many for? I think, really, you should only be able to have 5. That's all you need. I mean, if you use more than 5,
everybody's gone. We should be relegated. If the world could be relegated to stink bombs instead, it would be a much funnier, happier place, wouldn't it?
All be relegated to rap battles. That's the end. And if we just own you and just completely embarrass you, you got to walk away.
I feel pretty good because we got Nate on our team and he's pretty good at it.
We got Nate.
Tico Taco is actually a fucking Mexican restaurant here in San Antonio. It's delicious.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
The red taco, unbelievable. All right, let's move on to some save rounds and alibis. Nick, we'll start with you, pal. What do you got?
I don't got anything for today. Just remember to please subscribe to ZBT on YouTube. Thank you.
Cons?
We mentioned the UN being in General Assembly. Something I found out last weekend when I was going to a wedding in the city because we were going to go before...
Traffic. Ugh.
Well, beyond that, we were going to go to the plaza to have a drink before Friday night. Ooh,
yes, the Ritz close, Mother? I guess we can.
They had leatherwood candle smell.
We actually ended up going to the Ritz because all of the folks at the UN, they all stay at the plaza.
True.
And as did President Biden.
I stayed there whenever I got to do stuff at the UN, General Assembly. I was behind the little stage whenever President Bush was giving his last address to the UNGA. I was like 13 or 14 feet behind him.
That's pretty damn cool.
So that was something I learned. And then lastly, I found out last night that Chaps and my wife have something in common that they both do to me. And thankfully for me... I have thick skin. I have thick skin, so
good
it doesn't bother me.
You do. Nice.
But
too.
My wife loves to say to me, she likes to preface something like, listen, I'm not saying this to be mean, and then proceeds to say something very mean. Last night, and it's not important what it was, but Chaps texted me something. Hey, I'm not saying this to be mean, and then proceeded to be very mean.
No,
and
I was like, that's untrue.
It was more your tone.
No, go back and read it again. You were reading it sensitive, Sally. I prefaced everything as nicely as I could. I'm not gonna say what the subject matter is about, but this is egregious. I can keep going.
I just thought it was funny. No.
Oh, I found it. Here it is already. No. Look, the last things I say to cons.
Oh, the last few things, yeah.
No, I ended it.
The conversation evolved. The conversation evolved, but you let it off with, I'm not trying to be mean, but, and then proceeded to say something mean.
I said, it's not you, it's the nature of this thing that we're talking about. You did a great job. It's not that. It's simply the medium.
You said all that, but
that was nice, Kate. Come on.
That was very nice. That was a few texts down the road, though, is what I'm saying. The initial paragraph text was mean.
Do you know what I think would be a popular podcast here?
What?
We have a therapist come in, and she sits down, a relationship therapist, and she sits down with each of the podcasts here.
And goes through the group text.
And goes through the groups.
Oh,
and,
my God.
I mean, we'd all have something.
Yeah, that'd be bad. Yeah. I think some of the people are like, oh, that guy's a fucking asshole, or she's a fucking bitch. Or maybe she's an asshole and he's a bitch.
I just say all that because it made me laugh. Mm-hmm.
Like KFC Radio gets ADHD, ZBT gets PTSD.
Oh, real
course.
On the nose.
You know, yeah, stuff like
that. Be real fucked up if somebody else did. Like if, like the anus boys or something like that.
Yeah, that's our thing.
They get
back
TBI,
off.
The anus fellas. Lil Sass got TBI and be fucking pissed. He doesn't get that. Mm-hmm. All right, Kay, what about you?
I don't think I have anything. My son bit someone at daycare again today.
I was just going to say again?
Dude. I don't know what to do. I
feel like it's not a thing that kids do.
I don't even care. I mean, Cash deserves to bite somebody. If they're pissing him off, he doesn't have...
That's true.
I mean, think about... You have to deal with what you have at your disposal. So if you don't have the ability to form
it's
sentences...
It's a weapon of opportunity.
Exactly right. I was going to say, I might have to mail Cash my green belt from Mick Matt because he used it as a weapon of opportunity. He deserves it.
He did. I should be proud of him, I guess.
Some appropriate forward breakfalls too that are incredible.
He does a leg sweep like you wouldn't believe.
What happens? Crazy. You just get a call and they just scold you, or
they let you know, and then there's all the parents are waiting outside the daycare at the end of the day, and they walk out and give you the paper of shame and tell you what your kid did in front of everyone else.
And it's really sad during nap time. They have a couple of the other little toddlers get their purple moonbeams out and surround them. And they have to keep on fire watch over him because
he's a danger. Yes, they do. That's crazy. So that's what's going on with me. And Chaps, as for your safe round, big vacation with your wife for the first time in over a decade. How's that going? How's that looking?
I don't know. Because of the hurricane, it's going badly. I'm not sure how it's going to go. Because
you're supposed to be going to Ocean City, Maryland for a big concert that half the company's going to, and it looks like the whole thing's fucked, right?
Yeah, Punk is playing there, and they're going to have Dave Matthews and Tim Reynolds, which is one of my top five favorite groups of all time. I love Tim Reynolds. I think he's amazing guitar player, the best acoustic guitar player going right now, and has been for a long time. I'm super looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. But with that hurricane that's coming through, I know it's very selfish of me to be thinking about only Ocean's Calling and not everybody that's going on in Florida. My mom's here dealing with it because that hurricane is supposed to hit inland right at the spot of Florida where she lives. So she's like super concerned about her house, but as people going over there look at it, and she's here. But I just keep having eyes on, am I still going to be able to get a nice taco there? Is it going to be raining? Am I going to be in the mud at this festival?
You were assuming you'd get a good taco in Ocean City, Maryland?
Crab taco.
No.
Why?
Crab tacos.
They're supposed to have all kinds of fancy.
Crab tacos, not a thing.
But with the people that are coming, we have like celebrity chefs that are going to be there, guys. Like they have celebrity chefs that are cooking this stuff.
Yeah, Roan's doing food contests or something like that at some of the stages, I guess.
Apparently. I'm just going for fun. I'm not going for work. I'm just going to have a good time.
I know you're just going for fun, but yeah, you're right. All kinds of food and stuff. I just never heard of crab tacos.
Hockey is on. And no matter the city, no matter the team, no matter the game, whether it's face-off or penalty shots, regular season or playoffs, win or lose, no matter what happens, no matter where it happens, New Amsterdam Vodka is there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's do cunt chat real quick before we leave.
Are we serving cunt?
On Barstool Chicago, they had a conversation about the usage of the word cunt. Kate, when do you think the word cunt is appropriate?
I think when you – it's like how I can say it. Like I can say it about my buddies, but you can't kind of thing.
Can I say it?
Yeah, so totally. If you're saying it to truly be nasty to a woman specifically,
if I say not good. If like let's say we're both going into park somewhere and she pulls in and I'm like this fucking cunt. That's not acceptable.
That's not okay.
But if I go over to England, I'm hanging out with Patty the Batty, which if you haven't seen that episode, you need to go back and watch it. If I'm hanging out with Patty the Batty and he goes over and he's like, "Oh, you're a fucking proper cunt." I'm like, "You're a proper cunt too."
That's fine. Kiss. Yeah, if you speak with an accent, cunt is fine.
I think so. You just got to say it with an accent.
I would just never use the word because I respect women too much. So I just don't use that word.
What word? Cunt.
See you next Tuesday.
It's on their tree.
No.
You can cunt rocks. You can kick cunts.
Okay. Licking cunt is rough. That's rough.
That's rough language that I don't
You don't
like.
Ever go up to somebody that you're interested in. You're like, you need a good old-fashioned, I'm talking cunt licking is what we need. A little lickety clit.
The good news is that Nick is going to cut all of
this at the end, and we're not worried about it. On ZBT. No. We'll be back next week with the cut of the week here on ZBT.